This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And then that's Dennis Hallinan. And with us as well is our favorite edutainer from the free state of Florida, Wes Bryan. You there, Wes?
Absolutely. Good morning, New England.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you rub it in. It's cold and rainy here. It's probably beautiful and sunny down there in Florida.
Yeah, I would say it's chilly in Florida, but you guys would laugh. So
yes.
We'll just keep it that way.
Probably true. So we like to have Wes on. He's a edutainer extraordinaire, does great work explaining difficult concepts and getting folks to be smarter about technology. And so having Wes on this morning, we're going to cover something called shmishing, right, Wes?
Yeah, actually, yeah, absolutely. So I figure what we'll talk about, there's a reason many people get hacked, why we always find, that these attacks are so prevalent.
Yeah.
To some people, that have been in IT for certainly, yourself and Dennis, for IT staff, it's kind of one of those things where we go, oh, it happened again. But why does it happen and why is it successful? So one of the things I thought we would talk about are some of the basic ways that you can tell, whether it's phishing, again, that's through email, it's becoming even more popular with things like social media. The smishing aspect is just, hey, we've got to have these fancy terms in IT. It just basically means SMS-based, right? So text, or through social media channels over your phone and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that you can do, whether it happens to be through an email or whether it happens to be something like an SMS-based text. Let's take it even farther and call it vishing, too, something that's over a voice-over IP phone, right? So
that
ability for somebody to deceive people, right? And it really falls down to a few basic things that we can do. There's some basic things that people can do. You don't have to be in IT. Certainly, there are some things that we know in IT that we can do as well. But so what I thought I'd do is kind of break this down into a few different things that we can do. And if you'd like, we could talk about them. So,
sure.
The basic things that anybody can do, whether it happens to be something that comes in through an email or if it happens to be something like we're seeing smishing today, which comes over through a text, right, is a couple of things, right? Look for things like greetings that have a very lack of personalization, right? There's no personalization in there, right? Usually, if you have a legitimate organization, these are the real quick key indicators where you don't have to be tech savvy, right? Be cautious, right? If an email starts with a very generic greeting, right?
Mm.
Other things that we can look at, too, are poor grammar. We can see it a lot because, hey, let's face it, some of these are coming from a country that is not, an origin that is not here in the U.S. or anywhere, really, in the world, right? So be very, very weary of any kind of message that comes through with a lot of grammatical errors. And trust me, my poor language teacher would be so disappointed with me today.
Mm-hmm.
But the common things, right? Remember, professional organizations, right? They usually will proofread.
Right, right.
Whether it's a marketing blast or not even marketing, just normal communication. So multiple errors in that can be a very big red flag.
Right.
Another thing. So, and if you look so far, we haven't done anything that's really technical. It's right. Just things that we can see right away. So other things, too, is beware of urgency or threatening language. Right. If I have a communication, right, phishing emails really try to scare people. Right. That the fear concept. Right.
Yeah.
So that we jump into action right away. Right. Legitimate companies typically don't pressure you into this in this type of manner. And why do they use that? Well, I encourage your users, if you want to go out, there's an article that talks about the principles of persuasion. It's by a doctor, Dr. Robert Caldini, and he gives like six different reasons these are effective.
Okay.
And it is something that we can look at like, and you can apply to any kind of message that wherever it comes, right? Like, for instance, reciprocity, right? Mm-hmm. An attacker will send some kind of email that free coupon, right? So you want to, just
sign
up here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Scarcity, right? Limited time offer. You've mm-hmm. got to go ahead and you got to act now as well. Authority. This is definitely one we're seeing commonly, and I'm sure you all have had to deal with this, where it's not only in the email, it's now very, very popular in the text messages, right? The authority,
right?
The chief executive officer, right? The chief, and put the C in front of whatever the title is, right? Demands you to respond, right? Chief financial officer calls out and says, hey, I need you to get me 10 Apple gift cards and I need you to send them now, right?
Right. Just that whole concept that still works is almost like the Nigerian prince thing. It's still amazing.
Oh, you're related to that prince as well, too. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting. That's right. Another thing in these principles they talk about is consistency, and that's just, them taking advantage of consistently asking for something small, right, and then asking for more later. The one that I really want people to know, because it really is driven a lot, too, by social media today, are two very important ones. There's one called liking, and there's another one called consensus, right? These are principles we have to be aware of. Bad actors, right? What do? They hack somebody else's accounts, right? I don't know how many times I've received, an email or a message in a social media platform. Just click on this link. Just look at this, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because that account has been hacked. Another one I would say.
Right, coming from a friend. It's somebody you know is telling you to check this out. That association is safe to you, and so you might click on it.
That, absolutely, especially when it comes to things like family members, too. I know that I've had to worry about this. And then the last one was consensus, right? Things like taking advantages of cultural trends, natural disasters, here in Florida, and not just in Florida, along the East Coast, and I'm certain, like with nor'easters up north, there can be natural disasters. People like to take advantage of these things.
Yes.
And so look at time frames, right? That's very, very important. Now, the final thing that I would talk about is just really what can you do if you want to be, have a little bit more investigation on it, right? These are so far have been all very basic things. But if we look at the investigative nature of things, check the sender's email, right? Because it is common for misspellings to be in the email, right? They look legitimate, right? So this comes from eric@mycompany.org is the legitimate email, but it says my-company.org or my-company. Whatever the domain name might be, right? Mm-hmm. It could be an indicator that is a fraudulent email. Another thing that we say, especially when we're training in the training industry, and this is not mine, but I definitely stole it from another trainer years ago, hover to discover, all right? Hovering over links, right? Yeah. That was one of the things that in my training very early on, they said hover over links because you can hover over those links in the email, and sometimes they will populate a URL that does not match what is being said, whatever the context of the email is. And then at that point, what we don't do is, if it doesn't match, we don't, we don't click on those links. Mm-hmm. Now, I go even farther than that. I have to tell you, Eric, I don't know about you, Dennis. I don't click on any links. In fact, received messages from my family saying, oh, check out this YouTube video. But right. I don't click on those either. So we just have to be very, very mindful at the end of the day.
Yes.
And
I've said it so many times to my kids that they won't even click on my links.
They get tired of the dad jokes.
Yeah.
Well, get the roll of the eyes.
Exactly. They're like, Dad, it seems like a phishing scheme. It doesn't seem legit. So they don't even if I want them to check something out, they won't.
So let's talk about mitigation, right? Mm. And that's a big fancy word for, hey, let's try to avoid this at all costs if we can, right? You all are already doing, your listeners are already doing it if they're tuning into the show, right? Mm. Whether it's end user or it's employee education, right? We talk about defense in depth, and I don't care what your security strategy is, right? The outer layer is typically policies, procedure, and awareness, right?
Yep.
And that last bit is the educational piece, right? Regular training sessions. Now, not every one of your users is going to be, in an organization, but read up on these things, right? A little bit farther in the business, you can. We have this all the time, and I've actually been a part of these. These are simulated,
yes,
for clarity, simulated phishing exercises that come in and bring in information you could find out. And then you can, who clicked on what, where did it take them, and then you can provide feedback too. The biggest thing I would say is enable two-factor authentication at very minimum.
On all
I
your stuff.
I go even farther than that.
Yep.
Multi-factor authentication, MFA. Let me give you guys a real quick, because I know...
We're coming against a hard break, Wes. Can I put you on hold again and have you continue?
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll see you in a few.
All right. We're going to be right back with Wes Bryan, Edutainer extraordinaire. We'll be right back. All right. We are back with our favorite edutainer, Wes Bryan, talking about phishing and smishing and what you can do to try to sort of protect yourself. And Wes was getting into some of the things he thought of as far as what you should consider. Security awareness training is something that, if you're in the corporate world, is a thing to definitely think about. One of the things that Dennis and I, Wes, were talking about off air was that the new Google apps, I've had mine for a long time. I'm a Pixel user from way back, are smart enough to detect spam very well when it comes into your SMS. And of course, you can block and mark them very easily too within these newer phones.
Right.
So do you find that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I know one thing that I've seen recently in my own, endeavors, if you will, or interactions is things like your mortgage. You'll get, random text, or because they'll pick up your phone from your phone number from somewhere,
right,
or in an email. Another one that I've seen too is, hey, your healthcare is about to update or whatever, and you'll get, them as well too.
Yeah.
One of the things I really, really like about Gmail, because I've been using, I'm in the Google sphere as well too, is that they do a really good job of identifying things are spam and potential phishing. And one of the things you'll see is when you open your email is if they happen to miss it, is you typically see some kind of banner across the top, and it's saying, hey, are you sure this is where or this is an email you want to open up? Because one of the things I really like to do is they know where your emails are coming from, and they, with all of that information, they can kind of look at what the trend is and see something that steps outside of that trend and,
right,
and make you aware of that. So it's a really, really good thing to have likewise too. Because I create a lot of different accounts for trying out new software or maybe spinning up a new lab environment. And I actually, believe it or not, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I had all these texts coming to my phone right away, or notifications, I should say, that were letting me know, hey, here's your one-time password. We get back to the multi-factor authentication that we're kind of talking about before the break.
Yeah.
And what I was finding out is one of the emails that I had used, because it was so generic, had ended up somewhere on somebody's spam list, and they were actively trying to get into that account.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had multi-factor authentication turned on, they couldn't actually access the information. And I was able to go in there. And what they're doing really is maybe not even trying to hit my account with a password. They're trying to see if they can reset it by normal means. Just, hey, you forgot your password. They have a little bit more information, and they can start that recovery or password reset process. But when you have something like multi-factor authentication turned on and it needs to send your device or another device a one-time password, if they don't have that password, it makes it more complex or complicated for them to get into your systems with any kind of stolen information that they might have.
Well, that's the thing, too. So let's say they wanted to spearfish you, right? So they've done that. They tried to get into your, let's say, Fidelity account or what have you. Now they can actually reach out to you because they already have your phone number. They know who you are. And they're trying to get into your Fidelity account, let's say, and they're going to say, hey, this is Fidelity. We're trying to help you with your account's got a problem, and we're trying to help you. We sent you a passcode. What is it? And again, you'll see these warnings saying, do not ever give this out to anybody, right, when they send the passcode to you. So be careful, because these social engineering folks will go out there and try to ask you to give them that second factor. And you might have your guard down because, oh yeah, it does seem like something's wrong because I'm seeing these Fidelity things. I'm seeing these two. I just use Fidelity as an example. It could be anything, right? Don't fall for it.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Because they've got very easy tools out there that could scrape a website, build a web page. It looks like it's a genuine authentication box, right? But what it's doing is it's actually just you're putting in your username and password. You put it in a couple of times. It's not working. It says it's broken. It says it's try it again. But at that point, they don't really care because now they've got your information. And they can do it very, very easy with a lot of the software that's automated out there to do it. Yep. One of the things I would also tell your end users, regardless of what device you're using, whether you're talking about coming in through normal channels like email or you're talking about the various mobile devices that you might have, is make sure that you're doing regular software and system updates, right? Keep your devices up to date, because what happens is there are known vulnerabilities. The known vulnerability, starting from the zero-day exploit, go through a period of time where they're identified, patches are tested, and then patches are released to the public.
Yep.
The problem is when we look at that timeline of a zero-day exploit, right, when we don't know anything about it, we just know that it's exploitable and we need to do something about it, there's a sharp drop-off. I don't have any numbers right here in front of you.
Hey, Wes. To give you,
but there's a sharp drop-off at the end of that life cycle.
Yeah.
Of an exploit, where just because the patch has been released,
Wes, we gotta go. We're right to a fat. We gotta go to break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are back, and Wes was kind enough to hang on there through the breaks. Just so you guys know, we are working very hard on being commercial-free again. I've got a new vendor I'm working on. It's close. It's close, so we won't have to sit through all those. You know, I'm sure California Psychics already knows that's going to happen. So Wes Bryan is back, and just kind of finish up your thought there, Wes, on getting yourself protected. Oh, my bad. I got to hit the button, my bad. Sorry, Wes.
There we go. All right. Yeah, it boils down to three things. We can wrap it up. Implement MFA is probably the first step.
Yep.
Update your systems. And then the last thing is think before you click.
Think before you click.
Yep.
Wes Bryan is a edutainer extraordinaire. We have him on a regular basis. Wes, we'll have you back. Let us know if there's any topics you want to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you guys reach out to me. Sorry for monopolizing your time. I love technology.
No, we love that you're here, and have a great Thanksgiving, and have a great New Year, too, if we don't talk to you.
You all as well. Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you, Wes. All right. So, yeah, I mean, this is a very big issue when it comes to security these days, phishing and smishing. And my best advice is just assume the company that's reaching out to you is not the company that you work with. They don't care about you.
Right.
You know, I get my mortgage payment. They email us, thank you for your payment. You don't care to thank me. And if I didn't pay you, you wouldn't be telling me, you'd be telling me in a letter, right? I don't need you to tell me thank you for sending the check I sent. Although now when you send checks or any kind of payment these days, they're getting stolen right out of the post system.
Yeah, that's another issue.
What a mess these days. But just assume when you get a text or an email, assume it's fake and then go right to the source directly and reach out directly and take care of it that way. All right, let's get back to your calls. We've got who's in the longest? Lori in Deep River has been waiting a long time for us here. Lori, what's going on?
Yes, good morning, guys. Do enjoy listening to Wes and, you know, get a chuckle out of your AI idiots that discussion.
Karen and Bob.
Yeah, Karen and Bob. Yeah, the idiots. sorry, I don't know. I just
it's a love hate.
On some of the things, and yeah, exactly, we have that same relationship with our patients. I have a question on a couple different things. Comment number one: web browsers.
Yeah.
As you know, I've called you guys a couple different times over the years. We're an Apple family here. DuckDuckGo works great on my iPhone. I've got it's running 17.6, so it's up to date. But I can't get Browse to work on it for anything. It's slow. It doesn't, I don't know what else to do with it.
You can't get what to work?
My husband, Brave.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, I've tried, and it's worse than a snail mail. But DuckDuckGo still works fine, so
yeah.
Okay, I'll stay with that. My husband does have a Windows tablet, and he is running Windows 11. I don't know why. Brave is great. Firefox is great. But DuckDuckGo doesn't work at all on it. Same, the reverse of what I have with Brave on my phone, he has with DuckDuckGo on that. The only reason he would use the Alphabet Google is when he uses Google Maps, which he does enjoy. But
we
try to stay away from that thing. Mm. We recently, our son kind of got us hooked up with the Eufy, it's EUFY, security cameras for the house.
Yeah, and we can see you right now. We just checked in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. So you see the birds out in the backyard. Oh, do you see our pet? Our pet, we were notified last night about 4 o'clock that our pet, in quotes, was outside.
Uh-oh.
It's the beautiful bobcat that's running around deep river. I mean, okay. Gorgeous creature. But yeah, wow. Our pet is outside. So we're having fun with that.
Yikes.
But this on, Thursday morning, I think it was, realized, hey, my car wasn't picked up when I drove out of the garage. And, we all of a sudden we lost. So before I left the house, I turned the system off, let it reset for a moment, and then came back on, and everything did come back up. But I'm just wondering why. Any thoughts? It's a brand new system.
Yeah. So these technologies still have issues. I mean, I've got a camera system as well, not by this. And it's hard for you to try to mask certain areas where you don't want to pick up things, and then have it try to pick up things.
Oh no, it just stopped.
It just froze on you, though. Yeah, that's a freeze up. That just happens to systems. Rebooting them does make sense. The problem is these are all PoE, so you got power over Ethernet, I assume, right?
It's on our house Wi-Fi, which is through the lovely, and that's question number three, the lovely local
Internet
Xfinity crap. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't lost power, although we did the other night with the house fire that we have here in town. So then the security system goes down. But,
I mean, you shouldn't have to keep rebooting your cameras. I would say try to update the firmware on them to make sure they're current. I mean, they might have already done that when they implemented them or whoever implemented them. But if you didn't update the firmware, it probably would help.
Yeah, well, I mean, the system's only a month old, so we
that doesn't mean
update
anything.
Everything. No, we did update it recently, so okay. I know that's all set.
How about your storage cards in the camera? Is there any little SD cards that are in the camera themselves? So a lot of cameras have this ability to store the data in the camera, but you have to add a nice size SD card to do that. That's how my cameras work.
The extra SD card is on the home base.
Okay,
the storage.
So it's all
so the
going
cameras
to the home
themselves
base.
Don't. It's all going to the home base, and we can have I think up to 16 cameras, and we've only got I think 8 all told. So we're pretty well covered, except we're supposed to be able to get a wider view.
Yeah.
And they can't figure out why we can't get over to one area. It's fine. It's going towards a fence, so no real big issue. But.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like to see what's going on in the yard. We like to see where the bobcat's coming through.
Right, right.
Our pet.
Yeah, your pet. So said all 8 cameras froze up or just the one in the driveway?
Every of them.
All of them.
No,
okay.
I'm sorry. No, it wasn't all of them. There were a couple that froze and a couple that didn't.
Okay, so then it's not the base unit. It's going to be the cameras. The cameras themselves could have an issue. That's what I would look at. If it was all of them, it'd be the base unit that froze up. But if it's just the cameras, pay attention to those cameras.
A couple of cameras. Okay. Well, we'll switch around. They seem to be getting enough solar energy, so they seem to be good.
Hmm.
Okay. Number three.
Yeah.
To how to get rid of Xfinity and all that other stuff. How do we hook up with Starlink? Are we going to be able to get our cell phones there? I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything, but yes, you should
yes,
be.
Indeed.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
Talking to your husband.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He just stepped in here. go ahead on the Starlink system. We are trying to get away. We'd love to be able to just go with Starlink or something along that line.
Awesome.
And home internet. I mean, GoNet speed is not even available here, so
right.
We can't do that.
You might not be happy with the cost of Starlink. It's not cheap, and the bandwidth is not going to be as good as what you have now, and especially when you have these cameras. You know, you've got 8 cameras going. I would also make sure the resolution of those cameras need to probably be lowered a little bit because they're chewing up a lot of bandwidth there too. But check out Starlink. Yes, it'll tell you whether or not you can subscribe to the service. It's not cheap, and again, it's not as fast as fiber or broadband, but it will make you completely wireless off the grid kind of thing. So we'll look into it. And when we've had folks use it in our client base, even as failover wireless internet. So it's a good option, but you may not want to be using it for all the stuff you just configured. Streaming and all that stuff could be an issue.
And Starlink is not friendly to VPN connections.
No, it's not.
Okay, because we use the VPN with LifeLock.
Okay, yeah.
Well, that might work because that might have its own particular client. But once in a while, we will bump into an issue with a VPN connection between using Starlink. You know, an employee is trying to connect from home to their company network.
Right.
And that VPN doesn't always work right. And in a lot of cases, Starlink will not support the connection. So there's no way to call them and say, hey, can you help troubleshoot? They're just going to say, nope, that's it. We don't do that.
You should also
don't do that.
But things I would think that like a corporate service type VPN should be made to work. So that should be all right.
No, this is just for personal.
You're using a service.
ABC.
You're using a service.
Check out also the cellular wireless. If you get cellular service where you are from Verizon or T-Mobile, you may want to check their residential. If you're close enough to a pole, you might get pretty good service there as well. And that's been pretty successful.
Okay, well, we do have a pole that is about 500 feet from the house.
Nice.
And when the power goes out, we barely get one bar on our cell phones.
Huh.
It's great. Yeah.
That's not good.
We have really good coverage.
Yeah, that's an issue. So that won't work. So your only other wireless option would be Starlink in this case. Okay. So you can check it out. And you can also get routers that will actually bind the two services together if you want to improve your bandwidth, but you're going to increase your cost by keeping both running. So
we have Deco Wi-Fi boosters scattered around the house. So we've got good Wi-Fi coverage.
All right.
As long as we have internet service.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, look into it.
Okay, but you were saying like Verizon and T-Mobile, I think.
Yeah, Verizon, T-Mobile are pretty popular. Those are options for you to see if they're in the area. But you got to check to see if they're in your area based on your address. So.
Right. Now, do you know, do they provide home internet?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
They do.
Yeah. Okay. As a matter of fact, that's what, in a lot of cases, that's what the product is called. It's Verizon calls theirs Verizon Home, and I think AT&T calls theirs AT&T Home.
Yep. T-Mobile. So $50 or $60 bucks a month, and you can get pretty good service if you're close enough.
Right.
All right.
We'll look into that, but no other thoughts on DuckDuckGo or anything like that?
No, they should work.
Well, here's the thing that I'm thinking about with DuckDuckGo, I think on your husband's computer, which is Windows.
Yeah.
The DuckDuckGo browser just came out like, I don't know, 3 months ago. And it might just be a little bit buggy. And maybe if he tries it again in another couple months, maybe it'll work right if he gets it updated. That's just a guess on my part.
Yeah. And you can also interface it with Chrome. You can use the private browsing within DuckDuckGo within Chrome. That works pretty well.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Lori.
Okay. All right. He's listening on the other side, so he'll hear that in just a moment or two.
All right.
So, all right. Great. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend, guys.
You too, Lori. Good luck with your pet, too.
Yes. All right. Pretty fuzzy, big fuzzball. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We're happy, all right. We're going to go to your calls. We're going to go to Dave in Berlin next. What's happening, Dave?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm a long time Photoshop LT user, and I've had it installed always on my local machine from the disk that I got back in the day. And I am not going to go around the Adobe web and hand over my computer. So I'm wondering if you can recommend some other alternative. I mean, I use it for editing, cropping, brightening, changing resolution, changing size, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for.
Dennis has got an idea.
I got one for you. It's called the GIMP. G-I-M-P, and it stands for GNU Image Manipulator.
The GIMP.
The GIMP.
Okay.
It's free. It's absolutely free. It's open source software.
Wow.
And it's very powerful, and a lot of people use it as a replacement for full Photoshop, not just Photoshop LT or whatever it's called now.
Wow.
Or Photoshop Essentials.
I bet you Carmen's played with it a bit.
Oh, I bet he has.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. I knew if I called you guys, I'd go in the right place.
Yeah, we'll post a link to that for you.
Every now and again, we find a, you know, every blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again. So we try. We
do there we go. Well, thank you so much.
You got it, Dave. Thank you.
Have a great holiday.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Yes, the GIMP. never heard that software. I know. I'm just not as worldly. Let's go on to Prospect and Cheryl. What's happening, Cheryl?
I have a question for you folks regarding the Mac Sequoia. Is it safe to upgrade my Mac to Sequoia, or should I still hold off?
There were a lot of problems with security software when it came out, things like antivirus and other kinds of stuff.
Mm.
Now, a lot of that isn't going to affect a lot of home users, but it could, depending on what you've got. If you're running any kind of third-party antivirus on the Mac, you could have issues, although it's been reported that they've fixed them.
Nice.
There's been a point update released for Sequoia, and it's supposed to address a lot of that. So at this point, it might be safe to install it.
All right.
Or you can wait another couple months and then see.
Mm.
All righty. I think maybe I will install it now so that I don't have to worry about it a couple of months down the road.
Sure.
Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Cheryl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, you know, trying to be current is always a good thing, but we have seen some pretty major issues with updates lately. One of them, and I joke about this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I joke about the fact that your computer can't tell time. Well, your Windows 11 update, 24H2, breaks the date and time settings in Windows. So, yes, still Microsoft is a 12 o'clock flasher and not able to know your time zones, has issues with daylight savings time. It's not syncing. So, saving time. They wrote savings. Daylight saving time. So, yes, it's the year 2024. It's almost over. 2025 is around the corner, and Microsoft does an update that breaks your ability to know what the date and time is. As it is, just dealing with your calendar in different time zones is always a shot in the dark. You're hoping that when you have some meeting with somebody on the West Coast, that it's actually going to work out at the right time, right? The operating system doesn't know. So they're supposed to be sending out patches and fixes to these types of things. It's one of those things when it comes to Microsoft is you get to ask yourself, should I update? And always the answer technically is yes, because of all the security problems with Microsoft, you do want to allow the updates to come through to protect your machine from all the holes they've left. Because if the same folks that are programming Microsoft program the date and time, that should give you indication of just how solid the operating system is.
Right. Right.
So we'll put a link up here for that story. You can read it and weep. We want to thank you, all of you, for joining us on this Saturday morning before the Thanksgiving holiday. We want to thank Wes Bryan for joining us as well. And everything, of course, is posted over at Computer Talk with Tab. And if you missed the show, you can download it through your favorite podcast provider or download the Odyssey app, and you can listen to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of Computer Talk with Tab. We're happy if you do it. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. And we will see you next Saturday.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
Have a great one.